Hello, it's Margot Kingston here, and I'm about to talk to Oliver Yates in his campaign office. Last time we spoke, Oliver said that he used to be a Liberal, but the Liberal Party left him. And Oliver, it sounds like a few other people in Kooyong have felt the same way, because Josh seems to be campaigning very hard in many different ways. Can you set the scene about how the campaign's going so far?
Oh, look, it's very chaotic down here. Like every, the amount of blue signs that he's continuing to put up even now is extraordinary. He's still, you know, hammering into people's fences more big real estate signs. The polling booths, they put 12 people on the pre-poll centre, which is, you know, basically making it impossible for anyone to actually get to the pre-poll centre. They had 10 A-frames out. They had wraparounds of the local newspaper, so they ended up with a full whole newspaper, you know, a bit like the normal kind of glossy you get with real estate. Well, there was two pages front and back of what he's doing. He's giving away money to even when they don't even ask for it. I know one charity here has been offered, even though he's been here for a long time as a member, has been offered $500,000.
Wow.
If he wins, and they've never asked for it, and they feel quite creepy about it. So, there's $8 million for hockey club, there's train level crossings, there's car parks. This seat has never received a cent. And, I wish I was on commission, frankly. I would have been able to fund the campaign if I'd had the usual typical banker's commission of 2%. I'd be doing quite well. But this is really what happens when you turn a seat from being totally safe and neglected into marginal. There is pandemonium and panic here from the Liberals.
Yeah, I've just checked out the Kooyong votes hashtag today, and someone took a picture of the mail that she just got today. Like, there was about eight or nine items, and then someone else posted a picture. He's got this sort of mobile, like, lighting sign, anti-Bill Shorten. It just looks, and I saw the other day that he's got a travelling truck saying all sorts of terrible things about Julian Burnside. How's Kooyong reacting to having seat campaigning?
Well, it is absurd, because at the moment, I'm having so much difficulty with the council. It's the local joke here is they came pounding on my door three times. They're at my house again, because I have four garden trailers, you know, the little ones that you pull around. Yeah, and so I started off a while ago saying, oh, you know, I'm used to campaigning from where we had no budget in Dandenong when my father was one. I said, oh, well, we're not going to spend $30,000 a month for billboards. There isn't a billboard that doesn't have Joshua over it here, frankly, whether it's electronic or whether it's stuck, you know, along the sides of every building. So I just went out and got four garden trailers with some mates. And it's been, you know, the attack dog of the local council has been trying to stop us. So we had to go and get legal advice and point out the fact that it is a constitutional right that allows us to express our political views, and if that involves on a four council trailers, good luck. But you know, in comparison to the artillery of trucks with trailers and lights, neon signs that the Liberal Party is now rolling out, it's a joke. But people see it for what it is. It's an absolute waste of money, and this is, Margot, why not only do you need donation reform, you actually need an expenditure cap on seats, because clearly he wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think he could buy votes. And the amount of mail, the mail is just ridiculous. I'm just about to put a tweet to say, why don't you save it all up, cross it out, because it says return to sender. It'll cost him a dollar an item. You're bankrupt, the Liberal Party. If this seat sends, everybody sends everything back and says not at this address, they'll receive it for a dollar an item each and we'll finish them.
So what's the reaction? I remember in Wentworth votes, they weren't used to it either, and people got very upset about negative campaigning and about being bombarded with robo calls. Is there any sort of backlash among voters in Kooyong?
Well, they put out a hit piece on me, Margot, and it resulted in me getting over $10,000 in donations within 24 hours, because people are so sick of negative politics. This seat is blessed in the sense with the candidates that it's got. Josh isn't a bad person. He's just, you know, in the wrong party. But you got Burnside, you got myself, and you got other independents. Jana's a good candidate who's the Labor candidate. The seat's blessed with good candidates this time, and we don't need the type of negativity. What we should be saying is this what we want? We want Australian politics to be, you know, a smorgasbord of good people trying to represent their electorate and bring good views to Parliament. But instead, the Liberal Party goes down the same avenue that they've been going down for years, which is always going to be wrong, which is negative, negative, negative.
Yeah. So when we spoke last, I was interested in the late intervention, really, of a high-profile Greens candidate, Julian Burnside, and what that might do with preferences. So now that all the preferences have been published, how is that shaping up?
Well, it's doing exactly what we suggested that it would do when the Greens decided to do it. And previously there was a Greens candidate, Helen McLeod, who was the Greens candidate. She's an actuary, I'm a banker, so we'd worked out how we manage the roll-up. But as you can imagine, there are really four candidates. There's Josh, Jana, Julian and myself.
Yep.
Now, in terms of people's tickets, Josh is obviously, he'll never go to preferences. Jana is Labor. Her ticket won't be filled with Liberal seconds or thirds. It's a very clean ticket. Julian's will be less clean. In other words, it won't have as many Liberal seconds in it, but mine will be littered with lots and lots of disaffected Liberal votes. So, both Labor and the Greens have provided me with their preferences. I just need to get above either Julian or or Labor, and then I can roll my way through. And so it's very easy here, and we're trying to give people strategic voting instructions, which is they really want to see a change of elector here and they want to see the Liberals replaced in Kooyong, the safest way to do it is to put me one and Jana or Julian two, so there's no chance of me coming fourth. If I come fourth, Frydenberg wins. If I come third, we win. Frydenberg's gone. So it's very simple and binary, and this wasn't an issue before. Julian's quite a good candidate. He attracts people. And I wasn't expecting necessarily to be competing against another socially similar candidate in the electorate, but we are. But I just don't want people to stuff up and not understand the complications and that brings to their voting choices.
So, are you saying that Labor has preferenced you above the Greens, and that Greens have preferenced you above Labor?
Correct. So,
Well, that sounds to me like the three of you have got together and made an extremely intelligent choice. Like, you know, let the best man or woman win, but let's maximise the chance of beating Josh.
Well, that's right. But the big downside in that is obviously, you know, being an independent candidate, you have zero rusted on votes to start with. The Greens have some rusted on votes. Labor have some rusted on votes. So as a pure independent, I have to go from zero to above one of those two in one campaign cycle. And that was clearly a lot easier and before Julian started to stand. And that's fine. That's what happens. But I'd hate to see us lose what is a globally significant opportunity for us to replace an environment minister and also the one down that Julie Banks is tackling down in Greg Hunt's seat. I mean, this would be very significant globally if citizens voted in a structured way to replace environment ministers who had neglected the environment. If this works here, Margot, it could become an international follow-on, because what we'd be saying is, where in the world is the next campaign? Where is the flagrantly idiotic environment minister? Let's start to globally fund a solid competitor against them to make sure that they're ousted.
Indeed. Yeah. And what better places than Kooyong, Wentworth and Warringah?
Well, no. This would be in the next country when the election cycle comes in another country. So this could be global citizens actually holding and taking action as citizens through the ballot box across the globe. I mean, the governments don't seem to be able to do this, but if there was, say, a campaign in the US where we had a couple of very ugly, high-profile climate change deniers, well, you know, maybe people in the UK, Europe, Australia should be tipping in to try and make sure there was plenty of funds to wipe that person out. If that's what we need to do as citizens, then let's do
it. Exactly. But that's what I meant by those three seats. They're three wealthy seats that would, you know, scare the pants off the Libs and you know, keep the left-wing parties strong.
Yeah, that's right.
It's crucial. That's so right. I guess the problem you've got is, I'm sort of urging in other seats that that Labor and Greens voters swing their first preference to the Indy to make sure he or she comes second. But given that the three of you have got a cooperative preference arrangement, that's a little hard to do publicly, I would assume.
No, we just do it publicly. Margot, just tell everybody you've got to put me one before Labor and the Greens. If you want to be sure that Josh Frydenberg's removed, that's the message. And I'm telling people, and we're going to be stating it clearly, and we're not hiding from that issue, because, you know, I like Julian, that's great, he's a great guy, all that type of stuff, and same with Jana. But at the end of the day, I'd be terribly disappointed if we didn't, you know, if Where the primary vote is at the moment, in our analysis, maybe Liberals have got 48. That means the good team, the people who care about the environment, have got 58. Well, they've got 42, sorry. We've got 58. Now, if we can't amalgamate that 58 to a winning position, that would be really disappointing. But there's a real risk that we will fail on the consolidation of the vote and actually lose the seat because we haven't actually done structured voting. So everybody in this electorate will be receiving their second piece of correspondence from me. It won't be in an envelope that they won't know what it is. So I guess I appreciate that means a few of them may decide to throw it away, but I don't like deceiving people with their mail, but it'll be explaining to them the importance of structurally vote, how they structurally vote this election campaign.
Yep. Well, look, if you want to send me that letter, I'd be happy to tweet that letter as well and give you full support because I've had many arguments with Greens and Labor voters on this in Wentworth, the Wentworth by-election as well, but it's very difficult to get some people to see the big picture. But it is doable and it happened in the Wentworth by-election, as you recall, the Labor vote halved and the Greens vote halved, but it's a struggle to sort of get for people to get their head around it. But if they vote accordingly.
Well, I hope so, because otherwise, effectively, you know, they have an option to change the local member here and replace the Liberals. And the downside of this arrangement is that they end up with me. If for want of a better word, if they've put me and I actually drag my way through here. But that is an upside on in essence, making sure if I'm number four, effectively, they hand the seat back to Josh. So it depends whether they want the Liberals removed from this seat or they don't. If they want the Liberals removed from this seat, then they're going to have to vote strategically.
Yeah, and what gets through for my argument sometimes is to just make it clear that you have to get Josh well below 50% to have a chance, and you are the only candidate that can bring across those protest Liberal voters, and many of them will preference back to Josh.
That's right. Well,
so
I think
that's you finish
that's
second.
Clear. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is imperative, and I think we'll do it. I think people are getting the message. They're warming up to the message. We're talking to them. But people are unused to this. Seat has never gone to preferences, so it's not something the local people have even thought about.
So has there been any polling recently, Oliver?
There has been. Well, look, we've done some polling. I understand some other relatively large pressure groups may have done some polling. There
so
is
what's
more
the
polling
broad
done.
Picture?
Look, it's actually difficult to say. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people have become poll weary because they've been polled to death.
Yeah.
Look, I'm pretty comfortable the type of polling that we do. We only talk about that we believe the primary vote for the Liberals will be at about 42, I think. That's kind of what we're talking about. And we'll get more information on that from other polls, which means the game's on to play. It's ours to lose now, as I keep telling people. The only people who are going to lose this is us if we don't consolidate this right. Dead keen to see that people understand that. It would be a terrible, unfortunate event if...
It'd be a tragedy.
The common views between myself, Labor and Julian are actually... the Greens are very, very high. I mean, there's a lot of... rather than respect for everybody, even for all our candidates on every side of politics, but certainly in terms of commonality of views, there's strong commonality of climate views amongst us three.
And one thing I always say to people is, like, if you're a Liberal voter, obviously you've been deserted as the party has moved to the hard right.
Yeah.
But a shock like losing Kooyong, if the party didn't reform and get its act together after that, well, then there's no hope for it. I mean, it's actually, to me, it's a positive thing for a smaller Liberal voter to do, to give this warning, you know, by knocking out... A Liberal Party MP in a blue ribbon seat.
That's right. I absolutely agree with you, Margo. And it won't, Josh is a very decent candidate, and he has leadership aspirations, and it doesn't hurt people from time to time to have to be a little bit in the wilderness and come back. It'll make people, think a bit harder. Sorry, the campaign office is getting a bit noisy in the background.
That's okay.
Trying to sort out polling.
I'm glad you're hard at work.
Yeah, we are.
How many volunteers have you got, Oliver?
Oh, look, a lot. So there's 320 people and we've got 140 people deployed on polling day. So it's an incredible citizens campaign we've got running here. And I'm exceedingly proud of what the team's done. It's unbelievable that we've started this really in before the state election, when I made a little speech in Hawthorne at a Lighter Footprints event, and then got convinced over a few drinks that I should think about having a crack. And then, you know, we started really late January, and here we are with teams and teams of people working here, you know, in the office and working out of polling booths and train stations, and they're all really enjoying participating in democracy.
Can I finish it off with this question? Obviously, it's something you never expected to do. You've given up a very good job to do it. What's this experience been like for you, win or lose?
For me, it's pretty much as expected, except it's a bit better. I mean, you have snakes, you know, ups and downs, or, you know, some going snakes and ladders as you look at this event. I do come from a political family. My father was a member of parliament, so for me, it brings back very fond memories of the challenges of taking a very marginal seat out in the area, in Holt, which went from Dandenong up to Cockatoo and all the way down to Kooyarrup in Victoria. And they were great times as a kid. And talking to people on the streets and sharing their aspirations and understanding their issues is incredibly fun. It really is fun. And you don't do that. You don't talk or share the issues of people. You don't talk to the guy who's sleeping outside the shopping centre, as you should, but you actually get to know everybody in the community, from the challenges for the basketball teams to the issues of no female changing rooms to, you know, road issues to asylum seekers who are unable to get any money at all, who are diligently begging outside shopping centres and have been for years, you know. And it's incredibly diverse. Kooyong itself is a rich suburb, but it's not immune to a lot of people who are not well off, actually. There's a lot of people who are doing it tough in this electorate still.
Do you feel it's sort of life-changing in terms of the perspective that you'll come out of it with?
Look, it will, because the point is that you kind of really marry the community when you do this, because you rely so much on other people. And I've travelled a lot during my life, and even when I moved into this electorate a while ago, I obviously took the CEFC job and took me back up and down to Sydney a fair bit. So getting to know really well the local community, my wife certainly does through the schools, but, you know, us boys are not very good at some of us aren't, I should speak for myself, some of us are not so good at the social side of things and getting to know everybody, but it's really refreshing to get you to know and really appreciate your own community.
Oliver, whatever I can do, I'll do. Really good luck. It's been a pleasure following your campaign.
Look forward to chatting to you maybe election night. It could be fun. I don't know whether we'll have an answer election night. That'd be probably my biggest bet, that we won't have an answer election night.
Well, that'd be good news, wouldn't it? What a swing there'd be.
Okay. No worries, Margo. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.